You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Thursday, February 9th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning from a snowy New York City. My name is Greg Sussman, alongside Scott Engel. He's the king. He's fantasy. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive from a sunny Florida in Jacksonville. Tony Sincotta. Scotty, what's up, man?
I hope Charles Oakley.
Turn your microphone on.
You want to be on the air? Turn your mic on, man.
Can you see that red light?
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Much better.
There you go, Scott. Yeah.
Snow got
I hope Charles Oakley is safe and warm this morning.
He's right down the block.
He's right down here. We can go visit him, actually. Yeah.
That's Midtown South. This is 215. Midtown South is 347. I've been there a couple times.
I heard you were sitting next to him, Corey.
I wish I was.
That's not very nice.
You're both yelling and doling.
Oh, you're talking about in that spot down the block.
Oh, you're talking about the garden. No.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Corey, what's up with you, man?
Yo.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm not playing. You think I'm joking, but I'm not playing. Mm-hmm. You see it play out right in front of your eyes last night. It's the talk of the sports world. I'm so upset. I'm so fired up right now. I guess we just going to have to get into it.
We will start with that. Tony, you warm, buddy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's not bad here. How about yourself?
You know, I'm not.
How about yourself?
I'm going to be honest with you. A little wet at the moment. Like, I walked in this morning, and, like, my jeans were dripping with snow. My hat is, like, some icicles in it. And I was just telling Corey, like, it's not like the nice fluffy snow where you walk in and you're like, ooh, this is nice. You're going through the fluff, the cloudy snow, like the snow you want to like make snowballs out of. Like, that's nice snow. This is not that. This is like the gross, like, it's like snow that as it falls on you, it hurts type snow.
It's like, you know, I was walking to the studio and it's like, you know, it's like, you know, driving all in your face. You know,
you're used to that, though.
Yeah, Corey was very excited about the forecast. He's like, "Wow, 12 inches outside."
Oh,
I gotta
man,
get out
you
there.
Guys are great. So I walk in this wind, and it's like it's hitting my face, and it hurts. I feel like I'm being pelted in the face.
Yeah,
it was tough out there. But you know, we're here, snow day, 2017. So we'll get it in.
Yeah. We'll get it in. Stop, Scott. Oh my goodness.
I think we got some good stuff lined up.
Yeah, it's gonna be a really fun day. I want to start with Charles Oakley though, because that's as you mentioned at the top, Scott, Corey, that is the talk of the sports world right now. # free Oakley, and it was one of the crazier things ever. So toward the beginning of another Knicks loss, Charles Oakley is sitting almost courtside behind the basket, right next to John McEnroe, and right by James Dolan's seats. That's where he sits forever, Dolan. And evidently, Oakley must have said something to him. Said the wrong thing, evidently. Because six guys went over to Oakley and said, "You gotta leave, bro," or "You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here."
Yeah.
And Oakley said, "Listen, no, I'm not, that's not happening." And they said, "You're coming with us." And the guy put his hand, his finger in Oakley's face. That seemed like a mistake. So that guy got hit in the face. Another guy then went over, he got hit in the face. And then six guys legitimately had to drag Charles Oakley into the tunnel at Madison Square Garden. They had him on the ground as you enter the tunnel from the arena into the locker room tunnel. And Phil Jackson, who, you know, can't speak to the media but can speak to Charles Oakley, he's trying to calm him down. And Oakley's basically screaming, "It's all his fault," as in Dolan, "all his fault." They bring him to jail right where we are,
right
down the block. And they could have just, like, let him cool down and let him go. But instead, they charge him with, like, three counts of assault. Mm-hmm. And basically started the popular Twitter hashtag from the fake media, "Free Oakley." And it's just absolutely wild that nobody's taking James Dolan's side. Nobody's like, man, Oakley, you should have been doing that. Hey, Oak, like, you got to chill out. And the Knicks released, like, the most BS statement you will ever
that
see.
That is the craziest thing.
An organization.
That is the
we
craziest
hope he gets
thing.
Help.
We hope he gets help.
Yes. They should be so ashamed
I think
of
that
themselves.
I think that was a great, great line. Like, you put yourself in the situation. What else are you going to say?
Nothing. You say nothing, I think.
No, you got to say something.
All right.
I mean, it's the biggest story in the morning, right? I hope he gets help. They're supportive of Charles Oakley.
Yeah, and it's evidently like Dave Checkets, the former GM of the Knicks, are like, hey, man, I'm going to try to bail you out.
He went down there.
He went down there.
Yeah.
Did he bail him out?
I think he got him.
He's the one that got him?
I think they went down there and got him out. He said, well, this is what was reported last night. I don't know if it was an initial exchange of words, but I think Dolan saw him and was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, so basically
yeah,
the
he
other
bought his own tickets.
So Oakley's,
yeah.
Yeah. Oakley's side is, right, he purchased his own tickets. When the Knicks realized that he was seated right behind James Dolan, not a coincidence where Oakley bought his tickets.
Oh, yeah, he's not stupid.
And they asked him, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And basically they said, get the hell out.
Yeah, there was some reports that like he was like yelling at Dolan from like a few seats away. And that's why I asked him to leave. And then the security guards got in his face, and I saw the video. Like, you know, he put his finger on one of their heads, and like no punches were thrown because they said, you know, if he had hit anybody with a fist, that you know the charges would have been worse.
Oh yeah, but, no doubt.
You know, he shoved another security guard too.
Well, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? But I think I speak for every single New York Knicks fan or just or. You know, stagnant New York Knicks fan right now, you wanted to see Charles Oakley get down to him. You know what I'm saying? We want to kick this man's ass, James Dolan. You know what I'm saying?
You sound like a soccer lunatic.
Charles Oakley, a player that played with heart and passion for the New York Knicks for a decade, and now this guy is ruining that franchise, ruining that organization. They were chanting Oakley, Oakley, Oakley. People,
you
nobody
can't have
has
physical
James.
Violence,
that's
though.
True too, but still, you got to understand this. James Dolan is ruining Madison Square Garden. He's ruining the New York Knicks. Him and now his crony Phil Jackson. It's terrible. And you want to see people from that era, somebody with some passion about this basketball team, somebody that was a great in New York City. This man can run for mayor this morning in New York City and probably win because the people can't stand James Dolan.
He'll certainly beat Bill the Boss.
Not everybody knew it was Charles Oakley. I was watching the video and there were some people going, sit down, jerk.
I've seen Charles Oakley before in his neighborhood.
Sure.
I crossed the street one time. I was like, oh my God, who is this? Charles Oakley is an intimidating dude. Like, he got that old man strength. It was that six of them to get him?
Legitimately six of them.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Well, let me ask you this, Tony, right?
Like,
the three of us sit at this table, right? Like, and we all grew up Knicks fans, and we're all passionate against James Dolan, and we're passionate for Charles Oakley, and, like, Kristaps Porzingis is, like, at the line, like, what the hell's going on? And so we're all sitting here, and like I said, the hashtag on Twitter is Free Oakley, and you have all these basketball fans coming out, like, James Dolan's a joke, what the hell, why would you do this to Charles Oakley? You are not a Knicks fan, right? Like, you have zero attachment to this horrible franchise that we all, for some reason, are in bed with. How do you look at the situation?
True. I think that, of course, everyone's going to come across James Dolan. He's the most hated guy in all of New York, and he has some pretty crazy guys there. But the bottom line is this guy is out of his mind. He bought a ticket to purposely sit behind the owner when there's 23,000 seats in that place, and his idea was to heckle him and make him look bad. And his intent was not to go to watch a basketball game. He was there to cause a spectacle, and he should have been kicked out, and he should have been arrested.
You think the New York Knicks, you think they should press charges versus Charles Oakley?
Absolutely.
Wow. You can't do that.
They actually did.
But that's a bad move right there. This organization is so upside down. People despise James Dolan. Nobody likes Phil Jackson. The only person that really gets any respect from Knicks fans is Carmelo Anthony, and you want to ship him out of town for Doc Rivers' son. You know what I'm saying? This is ridiculous.
You can't go and start a fight. This is a civilized country. Like, this isn't soccer.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but don't press Charles against Oak. You know what I mean?
I don't think they will because it's bad.
They did.
They did already?
Yes.
They pressed the charges against him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I wasn't aware of that part.
Oh, yeah. They don't care.
I think it still has to go. They went and they got him last night, but I think something has to be like formally filed.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the Knicks are going to do that. I would hope
I think they will.
I didn't hear this. You think like they will?
Yeah, yeah.
You really think he was charged with it, but I, you know, I didn't.
Maybe I had that wrong.
Because I
think that could be a publicity nightmare if they do that. You know,
I don't think they care.
The only way to get Madison Square Garden back is to stop showing up at that joint. Stop showing up over there.
The whole reason Oakland was ticked off is because the Knicks are like celebrating their 70th anniversary this year, and they're welcoming back all these greats, and Oakley has been like on the outs with the team for the last decade and a half, and he just exploded about it last night, probably in the wrong place.
You know what's actually crazy to me is that we all look back at like that team, right? Oakley, Charles Smith, Patrick Ewing, John Starks, right? Yeah, like Larry Johnson, and like Ewing's not really welcome back. They won't even interview this guy for anything. Assistant coaching job. He would love to come be back with the Knicks. Oakley they hate. Van Gundy they hate.
Mark Jackson
they hate.
Marv Albert.
They
don't even like Marv Albert.
They hate Marv Albert.
Marv Albert been there longer than all of them.
Yeah, hey, they hate him because Marv Albert was critical of the team.
James Dolan is the problem.
If you get critical of the team, you're put on the outs. That's the way it is.
And Phil Jackson can run the team into the ground, and he's still popular.
Yeah, Phil Jackson.
You're calling out your best player.
Yeah,
but I love. You know what? What Melo's doing? Like, you know what? You want to keep pushing me? I'm not going anywhere.
There you go. I don't blame Carmelo Anthony. Stay right here.
I agree.
Stay right here and lose with us.
I agree, man. Like, he's getting a lot of extra support, and it's all going to Phil. Like, Phil, what is wrong with you?
Yeah,
you see Jeff Hornacek before the game, and they asked him, he's like, I don't know.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I know Steve Kerr is like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I am so glad that the Golden State job opened up so I did not have to go deal with that spectacle in Madison Square Garden. The fans, everybody in that building last night wanted Charles Oakley to get to James Dolan.
Yeah. Did you hear what Spike Lee said?
Yes!
Yeah. Well, I didn't hear I'll help Phil Jackson pack his bags.
Yeah, Spike said I'll help Phil Jackson pack his bags.
Sure, I'm sure he will. Or pay somebody to.
Yeah.
Spike Lee will pack bags.
And it really is crazy, though. You think Dolan's pumped about this because we're talking about James Dolan instead of his shitty product?
He's got to be embarrassed.
I don't think he is. I don't think
you think he's that rich and smug that it's like, it doesn't matter?
With everything that's happened in that team after the Isaiah Thomas stuff and everything there, do you think he's embarrassed about anything?
Exactly. I don't think he cares.
Didn't he wash his hands of the Rangers?
No.
I think he had a situation where he was like, I'm done with the Rangers. Y'all run it.
That'd be great. Yeah. Oh, he still owns it.
Do it with the Knicks, please.
Right.
Do the same thing with the Knicks. Just get out the way.
Well, you know, you said something interesting to me a couple weeks ago, Corey. You went to the Brooklyn game, right?
Yeah.
And you saw Floyd was there. That's crazy. This team sucks, and Floyd's here in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was in Brooklyn last night because I was watching the game for DFS purposes because I lost despite 300 points, which is absurd. Nevertheless.
Yeah.
You know, who was in Brooklyn last night?
Who was that?
Justin Tuck. Justin Tuck sat courtside of every Knicks game.
Yeah. He was in Brooklyn last night. Who they played?
Brooklyn played the Wizards.
Oakley took his ticket.
it's becoming like people. I'll be honest with you. We got the two exits here. You get one where you can go on 35th Street and one where you can go out on 34th Street. I go 35th Street because I don't want to walk past Madison Square Garden.
Well, that seems dramatic.
It's the truth, though.
That seems dramatic.
I don't want to walk past Madison Square Garden.
I don't want to be a tourist when I go to 35th Street.
Well, that makes sense. That could be a part of it, too. But when I see the garden, I'm thinking, like, look how far this thing is going downhill. This is a joke right now. You got this idiot Phil Jackson. James Dolan is terrible. People are going to Brooklyn, all the way out to Brooklyn, to go sit courtside at the Barclays Center. And it's a game in Madison Square Garden? It's a joke.
By the way,
only the Nets have had a worse record than the Knicks since Christmas.
Great. Love it. Love New York.
That's a short sample size.
It's true.
When I was watching that last night, I was
like,
it'll
get larger.
I was watching that. I was like, Charles Oakley out there wilding. And then I'm looking closer, and I'm like, that's James Dolan sitting right there. At first, I didn't realize it was Dolan right there.
So, a little different. So, I was watching an MSG because I was looking back between the Nets and the Knicks last night, and it's one channel on the TV. So, as this commotion is going on, you hear the crowd chanting something. It sounded like Oakley, but I was like, this doesn't make sense. And they kept the camera focused on Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah.
So I had no idea what was going on. And then my phone starts blowing up. Did you see what happened to Charles Oakley? I'm like, what are you guys talking about? They didn't show anything. And they're watching the game on ESPN.
Yeah.
And they showed everything.
Yeah, because Madison Square Garden is not going on. You know what I mean?
Right,
of course. Madison Square Garden is corrupt.
They showed everything. And so I watched the video online and on Twitter. And I see John McEnroe. I'm like, what's going on? John McEnroe wanted nothing to do with it. He wanted to make sure he gets his tickets, though. And I just see James Dolan sitting there all smug.
Yeah. Like an asshole with his Fendi scarf around his neck.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let James Dolan go move Oakley from his seat.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. James, you want him going, James Dolan, you go get up and do it.
Yeah, you go do something. It's unbelievable. By the way, one last note here on Justin Tuck. He was asked, like, what are you doing now? Like, you don't really know, doing some work with the NFL, blah, 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 broadcasting or whatever, coaching.
Car wash.
He's going to Wharton to get his MBA.
Oh, really?
And he wants to be, like, financial services or management and, like, this whole, like...
He's going to be a hedge fund guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was like, wow. Justin Tuck.
Wharton. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
Justin Tuck.
It wasn't Notre Dame, remember?
Yeah, that's
good true.
It's
cool, but, like, Wharton.
I wasn't expecting that.
No.
Not when you already $500,000.
Justin Tuck's one of these dudes that's going to go away, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
So I thought it was pretty interesting.
He still have his seats, though. He can be able to afford them. Maybe he should buy the Knicks.
That'd be cool. Imagine just like a bunch of Giant players like, yeah, we'll take that.
Yeah, let's get together and buy the Knicks.
Eli,
yeah.
Tuck, and Strahan.
Dolan will never sell that. Never sell it.
No.
How much of a stake does that Nick Ranger ownership come in with Madison Square Garden? Like, who owns Madison Square Garden?
I thought the Dolans do.
I did it, too. Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. I thought the Dolans do. So, there you go. All right. There you go. The Knicks. A joke.
A joke. They
They did lose by 4 last night, too. Blake Griffin had a season-high 32.
Yeah.
Rivers had a career-high 10 assists. Remember I was asking about DeAndre Jordan. He had a terrific game. Porzingis looked better last night, too.
Yeah, he had his first good game in a long time. Carmelo Anthony missed a three to tie the game with 10 seconds left after DeAndre Jordan missed 2 free throws. That was it for the New York Knicks, who, you know, we really just root against. Can we just root against them?
Who?
The Knicks.
Charles Dolan's worth $4.5
billion. $4.5 billion?
It's Charles Dolan. It's James's dad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, James is worth $1.5 billion.
Oh, boy.
So you don't have
$6 billion worth of worth. Between the two of them.
You don't have to make him sell anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to buy that. Good luck.
This is my toy, and you will get nothing. Yeah, pretty much. But, like, the problem is I want them to lose, but like, I don't trust Phil to do anything right. I mean, I know he drafted Porzingis, which was cool, but he's not going to go down to college and go scout games.
No.
No.
He's going to go sit up there, you know what I'm saying?
In
fly
his
back.
Seat.
Yeah, fly
sit
in
like
his
this.
Seat. Yeah. Don't talk to the media, you know what I'm saying?
And it's crazy because he was here, he was on his open policy with the media, and he was talking every day, and now.
when it happens when you lose. And you can't figure it out, you can't put it together. Phil Jackson was only good when he had the best cars on the track.
Yeah, that tweet was crazy, huh?
Unbelievable. And then Melo has to come to work every day, like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's kind of like
when he's taking the high road every single time.
Yeah,
every single time.
Not the only drama in this area. Did you hear the report from NFL Network that the Jets might try to get Jay Cutler?
No, I didn't hear that.
you want to talk about standard Scott Engel transitions?
There you go. I'm just saying, you know, it's like sometimes I wonder which is a worse franchise, the Jets or the Knicks?
The Knicks, by far.
The Jets acquiring a quarterback that's better than anybody on the roster does nothing to do with Charles Oakley getting arrested.
The Jets are by far the better franchise.
Might right now at this time, but
no, period.
Overtime?
Over the last 10 years, over the last 15 years, the Jets have been better. Yeah. I understand how much of a joke the Jets are. The Mets went to the championship game twice.
And the Mets too.
The Knicks might be the laughing stock of sports and have been that way for a decade now.
Yeah, Jets aren't a laughing stock of sports.
The NBA has stepped
in.
The NBA stepped in.
How do you figure that, Scott? That is so crazy. Didn't they make the AFC championship?
Two years in a row.
That was like the highlight of their existence.
That's not, no, the Super Bowl they won was the highlight of their existence.
You're just a basher.
How long ago is that?
You just hate the Jets for no reason.
Yeah.
What are you hating the Jets for?
Well, I'm saying, you know, they're a very often an inferior franchise.
Well, you know who was an inferior franchise for 10 years in this city? The Mets. We're not bringing that up.
The Mets went to the World Series.
But what about the time? What about that 10-year period where they did nothing?
Yeah, that was bad. But I'm saying overall,
right.
Overall,
I'm saying.
I'm asking Jets or Knicks overall history since, say, like the early 70s.
The
like,
Knicks. They suck.
The Knicks did win two titles and... And in the 90s, what, did they go to the finals?
They won,
what,
yeah,
twice?
And
Jets have never been back to the Super Bowl.
The Knicks have never been, the Knicks haven't won since, I wasn't born when the Knicks won.
Well, Jet fans weren't born when they won.
It's true, but at least the Jets are on a laughing stock. Knicks are a laughing stock. The Knicks are a legitimate laughing stock.
I think the Jets get a lot of disrespect, though.
I don't really think so.
You guys are probably right on the Knicks, but I thought it was an interesting question. I think that, you know, you ask any Jet fan, it's like, you know, they're miserable, like, oh, you know, over the last decade or so.
I mean,
often have been.
But that's kind of what, if you wanted to turn it around.
They were 10-6 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, right. They weren't
Ryan
miserable 2 years ago.
Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't make the playoffs.
Ryan Fitzpatrick plays one better game.
There's a fact for you.
They play the playoffs. They're in the playoffs if he wins one game. The Knicks haven't been one game away from the playoffs in years.
They won 11 games in 2010 then, right?
Back 7 years ago. But I guess the Knicks win the argument.
6 years ago.
Nevertheless, Knicks are a joke.
The Knicks
Why use facts at all?
when we come back here on the show, Corey, what round are you in over here, man?
I am in. All right, I'm glad you mentioned that, guy. We are in the fifth round.
You're in the fifth round. We are, what, 2 days in now? Like 48 hours or so?
Uh-huh.
Give me your take. I want to talk about a little draft etiquette when it comes to a slow draft, because I have a lot of questions when it comes to this. So stick around. We'll go over Corey's draft, talk about draft etiquette. On the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Corey is partaking in his first draft of the year. It is a slow draft, which means you have how much time in between picks if you so choose to take all of it?
If you so choose to take all the time, you have 8 hours on the clock.
Is that standard?
Huh?
Is that standard?
That'd be the standard thing, yeah. You know, when you, and this clock stays on overnight, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that standard?
A lot of clocks stop overnight. Like, it'll stop at, like, 11 p.m. East. And then they won't start running. You can still make picks,
sure,
but they won't. The timer won't start back on the selections until like 9 a.m. East.
So it's kind of like a dick move, right? Like if you're up at the 1 a.m. and like you make a pick, and like the dude's like sleeping.
Yeah.
And like,
but how long is he gonna sleep?
I mean, what if he went to bed at midnight and sleeps 8 o'clock?
Yeah,
he's
but
screwed.
The thing.
Or what if you made a pick at 2 o'clock? He went to bed at midnight.
But the clock stops.
So he doesn't stop overnight.
No. Oh, and this right here, the clock does not stop overnight.
So that's so what it sucks.
No, that does. You have to be on top of this. This right here, you have to be on top of. You got to do 50 rounds before the season starts.
Right, it's a long time. Tony, is that standard for you? What the parameters that Corey's given? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that move that you just talked about.
Yeah.
Is the reason why you have to have precautions. You got to know that could happen.
Right.
And that every single time that you're in a slow draft, from the first pick on, you should have 20 people in your queue in the proper order, regardless if you're using them or not, because there's a couple things that could happen. One is that you could be asleep and your pick gets picked. And secondly, what if you have something come up at work, if something comes up with your kid or something like that, you don't make your pick? It's just going to pick the next guy on the list, and sometimes those guys are out for the season. So you should always have 20 people in your queue and be prepared like you have the next pick.
It's a great point. Pretty much, as soon as you make your pick, you should just put 20 guys in there, and then at least you can have a little peace of mind, right?
You got some leeway in case something happens. You know
right. I mean, for all you know, I mean, Corey, you make your pick, and you're in the five spot?
I'm in the fourth spot.
So you're in the fourth spot, right? Like, you make your pick, and it's moving along, and then all of a sudden, you got to go host the show for the next 2 hours. Like,
yeah.
All right, and you can't pay attention to this because you're working, and you won't have time. You could be in trouble. I know you have 7 hours, but like...
Yeah.
I
mean, this time of year, especially a week like this, right after the Super Bowl, people turn their attention to baseball, and particularly fantasy baseball, you'll see more of an excitement about it.
Right.
But the thing about these leagues, though, and this goes across the board for slow drafts, it only takes one person to drag a draft down.
Sure.
It only takes one owner to drag a draft down. And sometimes I think guys do it on purpose.
You know, it's interesting.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Why? What is the logic there?
Matt Deutsch.
I'm about to say Matt Deutsch. You took the words out of my mouth, right? Tony. Uh-huh. Yep.
He would wait the whole 8 hours, and he didn't care that people got pissed off at him.
No.
That's a dickhead move for people. The 8 hours is there just in case something comes up. I think some people don't know. You're not supposed to take the 8 hours. Basically, what you're doing is you're insulting everybody in your draft if you take that 8 hours continuously. You're telling them, my life's more important than you. You can wait around for me. And that's a dickhead move.
And the thing about it is, and his thing with it has always been, like, he would say, and I guess this is the mindset of people that drain the clock like this, he would say, well, I'm allotted, I have 8 hours allotted, I can use the whole 8 hours. But Tony's right. That's not what the 8 hours is for. The 8 hours is for a backup just in case something happens. Really, you're supposed to get on the clock, do whatever you got to do, and make your pick. You're not supposed to drain the whole 8 hour clock.
You're supposed to drain the swamp.
Every single person gets an email after every pick. Yeah. So you know. Everybody has a phone now. Everybody gets the email. So you know exactly where the draft is. You don't even have to be in the room. And you can get that pick. So there's no excuse for that to happen. People have jobs, some jobs where you can't look at your phone. And you get that, and sometimes that holds up the draft.
Sure.
Sometimes people, you know, on a Saturday night, they're taking their wife out for dinner or whatever.
Right.
That's going to hold up the draft. But that's what it's for. It's a courtesy, the 8 hours. It's not supposed to be a rule that's in place.
But I think about it. So we were – my slow draft experience is when I was in college, right? Like, we couldn't find a draft date for all of us. It wasn't 50 rounds. It was 25 rounds. But we couldn't find a draft date for all of us, and – we were all on different schedules, right? We were all in school. And this is before we were smart enough to come up with an eight-hour rule. Like, basically, I had the draft board on my computer. It was before any of these sites. There was before, like, a Google Doc existed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before these sites existed that you're using, Corey, and you use Tone. And we would sit, and sometimes there were days that would go by before picks. And, like, the best thing we ever, if we were in a chat room, believe it or not, and, like, we were all together at one time, and the draft would go boom, 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 boom. And that was the best. Like, I get exactly what you're saying, Tony. It's a Saturday night, like, taking your wife out for dinner, you're going on a date, you're going out with your buddies, and you don't want a draft. But, like, Corey, I know you, right? If you're going out on a Saturday night, right?
Yeah.
You're going out, and I know you're going out, you stay out late, you do your thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to finish.
If you were on the clock soon, or you knew your pick was coming, or you were on the clock, you just make the pick before you go out.
Yeah, I'm going to have my cue set up. I'll have it
on. You just make the pick. You would be like, listen, dudes, I'll beat you at the bar in a half hour. Let me make my pick.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
I have my cue set up. I'll throw it on auto pick if I know that, you know what I'm saying, that I'm going to be on the clock. I'm not going to hold the draft hostage. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to take the other 14 owners and kind of make them have to have their entertainment at my discretion. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? This time of year, this draft right here being in the middle of the fifth, it probably should be in the middle of the seventh.
Yeah.
But like you said, there's one dude in here dragging the draft down.
Scotty, when you're doing a slow draft, I know you guys did a slow draft for the Roto Experts mock.
Yeah, I got my Dynasty League slow draft coming up starting next week.
Right. So when you're doing these slow drafts, do you like, especially when people wait the full amount of time, the 7-8 hours? Do you feel like you're, like, just losing momentum here? Because I'm drafting. Yeah. Like, I am intense. I am into it here.
When it gets to, like, 5-6 hours, okay. I'm like, okay, you know, what's going on here? It's, you know, somebody's like, is there something wrong or something like that? You know, because I don't think I can't remember the last time in a slow draft where somebody took the full 8 hours. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but it's obviously aggravating. By the same token, you know, there are other people, like, where if you're not ready right away, you know, they start getting snippy.
And another thing that happened, that's true too. You do have people like that too, who start getting snippy if you're not ready right away. Another thing, the excuse is, well, the season doesn't start tomorrow, guys. Right. I don't care about that.
Right.
This is my money. I paid to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We all should be on the same accord, the same page. Do not take advantage of the system.
Do the math, folks. If everybody took 8 hours, you'd be done by July. So somebody has to step up and get this done. Now, there's two things in play here. One is the 8 hours there. Now, a lot of guys will say, hey, can I get your phone number? Yeah, and I'll text you if you're up.
Uh-huh. Great.
I don't do that because I get a million texts a day, and I don't. I get tired.
Gosh, you're so popular.
Because I'm getting the email. No, I get the email, so why do I need? I always look at my phone.
No,
so
but yeah,
I'll be honest.
I'll be honest. People too to like.
But I think that's a good thing, though.
In a slow draft, it's like, you know, I've been on the clock for like 2 minutes, and somebody sends me an email or text. You're up.
I like. Well, you know what? They don't.
Well, that's all right.
I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Maybe they don't know that. Maybe they want to make sure you know you're up. Yeah. They're not asking you to pick right now. Hey, dude, just I do the same thing. Hey, dude, just so you know, you're on the clock.
Yeah,
that's all I would do.
I don't know. I take it another way. I feel like, you know, they're kind of pushing me to make my pick.
You can be a little sensitive at times, though. So you know, you can. You know what I'm saying. I'm here to let you know.
What's that got to do with it? I'm being insensitive at times.
Yeah, but I think that text to me is just like, hey, I'm just letting you know you're on the clock.
Yeah.
Because they want to keep it along. And as we just said, like, we're sitting here at a draft, like a live draft. Like, we're all in the moment. We're all staring. Like, we're doing a live draft. You're doing nothing but paying attention to your baseball team and eating and drinking. Like, besides that.
But let me tell you one thing about just giving out the phone number on the slow draft. I was in a slow draft one time with some cats, you know, some listeners and stuff like that. You know, that appreciate all the support very much. But, and we know, he was like, yo.
Anyways, Bo was coming to us.
You put your, they're like, oh, so the phone number's whatever. So we was like, okay, phone number, you can text me on the clock. One of the dudes started calling me. And was like, oh, what's up, Corey?
It wasn't like, yo, we on the clock?
No, it was like, hey, what's going on, man?
Take your bottle tonight.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's the fantasy executive doing this evening? And I'm like, excuse me?
Right.
So I'm trying to be cordial, but then, like, the dude was like, he would call when, like, the show was over. And I was like, oh, my God, this is wild. So I've stopped putting my phone number in there.
Right.
I'm going to keep an eye on it, you know what I'm saying? So I wrote, and I think the same thing for Tony. You can't have Tony Sincotta, people in the league calling Tony Sincotta whenever they want.
But like, what I don't understand, and maybe we'll take a few minutes to simmer this, and we'll come back and bring it up. Like, this is a 50-round draft, right? Like, you're sitting here, you're in round six right now, and you're into it, right? When you're around 34, and people are taking 8 hours pick, because, like, you know what? They don't know who to pick anymore. Like, now, like, every guy you pick, like, all right, Nelson Cruz or should have Edwin Garcanacio. Yeah. Like,
it's
oh,
easy.
Right, it's a good thought. When you're around 34 here, and people are taking 8 hours, you're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I have 16 rounds left in this freaking
thing. The reason why you're signing up for this, the reason why you're doing this exercise is not for rounds 1 through 15. It's really for rounds 20 through 34, 20 through 50, so you can get better acclimated with the player pool and stuff like that.
Right.
So that's the part of the draft that you get the studying and the work done. So if you take a little bit more time at that point in the draft, I understand that, but still, there's no reason to drain the clock.
I agree. Let's hold these thoughts. Let's go back into this, continue the conversation. Roto Experts in the Morning continues on right after this. Continuing the conversation here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Tony, I know you had a point to make here. As we're getting deeper and deeper into the draft, rounds 27 through 34, 37 through 50, people just taking the full time and just losing that momentum.
Yeah, when you get to that point in the draft, it becomes roster construction. So basically, you're seeing how, you know, if you have one shortstop, two shortstops, you got to put in your draft is basically dictated, I'm going to pick the next shortstop that's available. And there's only two or three left that aren't starters at that point. So you're basically down to that, just filling out your team for roster. When I get to round 30,
yep,
I go on auto draft the whole draft.
Really? Really?
What I do is that I put 50 guys in my queue, and I constantly change them. Because there's 15 picks between your picks. So once I see a guy get picked, say a shortstop, and I don't need a shortstop anymore, then I'll go into my queue, and I'll remove all the shortstops from that queue. And then I'll look and see if there's any other guys of value there, and then I'll put them in the list. But I always am on auto from round 30 on. I don't need anything there because I know exactly where I am. I know exactly what I need, and I just need the best player at that position at that point.
Yeah, Tony, even when you're on auto, it's, you know, it's like it's constant maintenance. It is. It's... You know, just because it's a slow draft doesn't mean, like, you know, you check out and forget about it for a while.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you this. Out of these 50 roster spots, how many of them should be pitchers?
That's a great question. I think at minimum you need 18. If you're going to have 9 pitchers in your starting lineup, you need double of each position at minimum. I have 21 in his last start because the one thing you got to look at is you want to get – as many two-start pitching scenarios as you can, because you can put up the lineups once a week.
Yeah.
And the teams that get the most innings, they get the most strikeouts, tendency to get the most wins. It can hurt your ERA and WHIP if you have bad pitchers there at the end. But I think you need at least 18.
Because what I'm thinking is, obviously, these are not fab leagues. What you draft, you have, and then you set your lineup throughout the course of the year or weekly. But pitchers tend to spend more time on a disabled list. So, you know, I'm worried about, how many pitchers do you exactly need so you don't get in a situation where pitchers are getting hurt and you don't have nobody to put in your lineup. So about 18 to 21?
Yeah, 18 is the minimum.
Okay.
Go to 21. And it doesn't necessarily have to be starting. When you get to the end of the draft and you see all guys with ERAs of 4.6 and above, go and get a middle reliever or get a, I'll take for instance, Matt Barnes, who's going to be a long reliever for the Boston Red Sox. Put him in my lineup. He gets 3-4 innings a week. That's better than getting 5 or 6 innings from a guy that's a starting pitcher that's going to have an ERA of 4.6.
Yeah, you don't want that guy in your lineup, and then he gets that 1 or 2 bad starts and like really starts blowing up your ERA. You know, you get a guy that helps keep your ERA and your WHIP down and maybe chips in with a few Ks. And you know, I think we all got to remember, especially in the deep drafts, you know, the value of some of those middle relievers once in a while, you know, they'll vulture a win, maybe they'll vulture a save here and there too, and it all counts.
We look at just deeper in the drafts. Now, Tony, I know I saw a Facebook message when I woke up from you this morning. You're doing these slow drafts, right? These 50 round just marathons, essentially. Is all money collected before that?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't get in without a little bit of money. Here's the thing, when you put the money in, right? When you got to make people pay before.
Right.
Because one, you know they're going to show up, and two, they're going to take it seriously. If they don't pay, all of a sudden they have a crappy draft. All of a sudden there's some crazy excuse why they're not going to pay.
Right. Right. Makes sense. That makes sense.
It's like there are a lot of people though. Once you give them a little bit of rope,
yep,
and you show them that, you know, okay, I'm cool with it. You know, they'll just like they won't make it a priority in their mind. They'll shove it to the back of their mind, and they'll keep putting you off for whatever reason.
It's true. It absolutely true here. It's very important to do that. Like Corey, so this whole thing's paid for already.
Yeah, this is done. This is taken care of. This is in the can. This has already come out the Fantasy Executive account.
Now, you brought something up to me yesterday off the air after our program. And you had said that, on the air, I'm sorry, earlier this week, you know, I bought this draft software. I spent $7 of my own money here. And I'm going to follow it. Like, I'm going to follow this software to the T. You stopped following it in the second round.
Yeah.
Literally the second round of the draft. It gave you a name and you said, nah. And then in the third round, it gave you the same name and you said, nah. Did you just waste your $7?
No, because I like the way I had to update it. I like the way it's putting together the roster construction. Like I can see exactly like what my numbers are, what the other team's numbers are, and stuff like that. So if I need my targets to hit in the 15-team league, everything is right here on the app. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's pretty easy to update too. Like I need to do some updating now, as a matter of fact, because
I give him credit. I give Corey credit for taking that approach. Like I think. Like, I look at the same thing in Daily Fantasy. Like, I have access to a couple different people.
Right.
And there are times when I don't agree with what they say, and then it just makes me research a little more, and then I sit there and I try to figure out why they went there. So it makes me think more when someone has a difference of opinion, which I enjoy. And I like that Corey had the confidence enough to say, you know what, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, and it's like I often say, you know, it's like, I'll often listen to opinions of other people that I respect to see what their take is necessarily. Like, even, you know, I'm just getting into daily fantasy basketball, but sometimes I just have a feeling about a guy for watching him or looking at the recent trends. I might not necessarily agree with the daily play for that night, and I might veer in the other direction. Like that happened with Bradley Beal the other night when I was playing. You know, Daily Roto felt a little bit higher on another guy, but then I looked at some of the metrics that were being suggested. And I said, you know, I'm going to go with Beal here.
When you do your NBA lineup, Scott, and you use Daily Roto, do you use what's the Daily Roto optimizer? You have to put in 3 players, and then they give
I
you.
I don't. What I do is just I.
Why don't you use the optimizer?
I don't use the optimizer. What I do is I just sort it by position, and you know, then look at like the total points projected and kind of read what they, you know, what they have, then listen a little what Benny and Tony has to say and kind of mishmash it all together to see where I feel.
But why not use the optimizer for a couple of core plays, a couple of core guys, or maybe you take a couple of, you know, you hear Tony and say, okay, these are the guys, these are the value guys tonight because injury or whatever. Throw those dudes in your lineup and then have Daily Roto optimize the rest. Why not do that?
I don't know. It's not just something that I like to do. I like to look at their projections and see them against the salaries. And, you know, I just the way I do it. You know, I don't want to go into the whole thing of, like, having it optimize my I guess I'm optimizing in my own way, sort of.
Greg, what about you? You don't do optimize?
So I did. Like, when I was here at Benny before the lineup lock show goes live on the air, I would sit here and we would optimize together. We'd sit here like, all right, here are the guys that puts out. And it puts out Rondae Hollis Jefferson all night. And I say, F that. And that's how usually how and that's usually how the optimizer starts with me. And then I get pissed off the optimizer. And then I don't use the optimizer. And then I lose money. So I don't really know how I want to do it.
So here's the thing, and I don't know where to optimize it, but I'm going to give this for people out there in general. So the Rondae Hollis Jefferson example comes up. You can click on to the right of that, and it should give you alternate guys.
It does. It does.
That you can use. Yeah, and then there's a list of like 20, and then you don't like them either, and then you end up doing it yourself. I've looked at them at some of these optimizers, and there'll be nights that I don't. But I do it kind of like Scott, where I'll have my list of guys, and then I start writing down the salaries and putting them in lineups and try to come out with the highest score. So basically, I'll give a point total. Like this guy will get 45 points. This one. Get, you know, 80, and then I'm trying to come up with 280 points of salaries that they had, you know, on the average. I think these are good matchups, so they put them over 300 in that route. So I look at it like that. But I think a lot of the times I look at the optimizers and like Greg, there's one or two players that I laugh at and I just can't do it.
I'll be honest. Like last night, like I should have played because like I don't think anybody would have talked me out of DeAndre Jordan, like no matter what I read or what I saw projected-wise. I just felt like in the front court he was going to, you know, really put up good numbers last night. And I probably would have started there and worked around it.
Good as you think that play is, it cost you getting a $3,000 Kelly, $3,000 Willie Cauley-Stein by using him.
Well, I would probably start my lineup there and then work around that. Like, that would be my... I go to DraftKings, put him in, boom, because I know I want him, and then I work the rest of the lineup around it.
In fact, actually, it's interesting. Last night, I had my lineup set. It was 6:50. It was done. I shut the lineup lock show off. And then for whatever reason, I just had to look back at like Twitter or RotoWorld, and all of a sudden, oh, shit, Markieff Morris is out. I'm like, oh my God. And I had literally, Tony, under a minute left. And I'm like, oh, my God.
We had 2 minutes. We had 2 minutes left in the show, and we got that news.
Right, because I turned you off at like 10:02.
Yeah, all of our lineups. Mike Cardano's driving, and he's got eight lineups that he has Markieff Morris in.
Yep.
He's like, how the hell do you guys do that every night? And that's the way it works. We put Kelly Aubrey Jr. in.
Right.
And it would change. So that made us change a couple other things, because it's $3,000 difference in salary.
Sure.
I moved up to Wiggins, which was huge, because he got 51
31,
points.
31, yeah.
Yeah, 51 fantasy. Yeah. And then Aubrey Jr., I had 5 fantasy points, and I still got a 300.
See that's the thing about daily fantasy basketball. Like, I probably would have started with Jordan and Cauley-Stein and worked around that. But, like, you know, talking about that and, like, you know, Mike is driving, like, how do you guys do that? It's like, I can't do it every night because, to me, if I'm gonna go in on something like that, I have to go all in. When I played the other night, it was like, I had a lineup in 7 contests. You know, I'm spending hours and hours doing research, and just like, you know, I got to invest that time. It's like a good 2 hours every day.
But the thing about it is, with the optimizer, you don't have to spend 2 hours doing it. You feel what I'm saying?
But I just don't want to input something and spit it out. You know, I want to.
I'll be honest with you. I used one last year that was excellent throughout the course of the NBA season.
How much thought of your own did you put into it?
I was going through, what I was doing was I was getting projections. I was popping the projections into it. Then I would spit it out. How many of the lineups I want, I would click, and it would spit the lineups out. And these dudes, you know, were on them. They had different. They had a, you could optimize it for a cash game. You could optimize it for a tournament. You can be safe. You can take more risks. However you wanted to optimize it, it would spit the lineup out. And I'll be honest, they were on the money, but it was very the only expensive problem. One though.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it's like I haven't tried that, but I'm very comfortable with doing the research myself.
But you're not cashing.
Learning about it. I did cash, you know, okay. Already. You know, I. The other night I didn't, you know, nobody's going to cash every night, but, you know, I like learning about it, investing in it.
I see what you're saying for that.
I haven't tried the optimizer. Maybe it'll make it more fun, but I'm very comfortable with the process that I have now.
For that purpose, but you got to understand what we're doing is different. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for the average guy that wants a little bit of action, I don't really see a problem with it.
Only problem is you still got to be available at 6. Yeah. With the NBA, yeah. It's the only sport. You still got to be available. Like last night, if you were using an optimizer, it told you to use Markieff Morris.
100%.
10 minutes before the game, we find out that the guy ain't going to play.
Yeah, I freaked out and wound up putting like LaVoy Allen at power forward. I made some changes. I got Otto Porter in there. I made some other changes as well. And I walked out of there, Tony, loving my lineup. Like I had Wall and Isaiah Thomas. Like, wow, I'm gonna crush this tonight. Had Marcin Gortat, and then LaVoy Allen has 12 points in the first quarter. I'm like, I crushed it. I'm the only person in my entire pool, 1%. 1%er, Scott, that had LaVoy Allen. He had 12 points in the first quarter. I go, oh my god, I am going to dominate. He had 0 points the rest of the game. Not a single other fantasy point the rest of the game. I put up 300 points, and I'm just cashing my two. Absolutely
and
brutal.
You really don't use an optimizer, Greg?
No.
No. What about you, Tony? Betty, how often says, have you used it?
I've never used it solely. I always look at it probably a couple times a week when I have time.
Yeah, when I'm with Benny.
It's like when you got some more time, it's like something else that you consult.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. And then I look at the lineups and then I try to figure out why they have something different than me. Benny was texting me last night when the Bullets game went into the Bullets. The Wizards game went into overtime.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, Tony, he goes, this is amazing. It probably goes 7 overtimes with the way you've been going lately.
That
didn't go
cool.
7, but we still were able to win. We're still able to win. Mike won. He played eight tournaments in last night. He won 6 of them.
That's awesome. Very good job. Very good job. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come out. Hey, more basketball talk coming up 9:30. Ashley Docking, Fantasy Sports Today, will join the program coming up then. But when we come back, take a look at Corey's draft. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Top of the hour. As I mentioned, Ashley Docking will join the program coming up 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Let's talk a little NBA with us. Next hour, we'll continue with the baseball. We'll pick a player. Today's team is the Chicago Cubs. So we'll get into that. Also, you know, want to hear about Corey's draft here a little bit. And that will take us, of course, into Friday.
I'm updating the app right now.
You're updating the app right now.
Yes. Yeah, so what I'm going through, while I was resting, I didn't put some of the players in.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And then I'll look at it and I'll see where my numbers are at after I get everybody's in here. I probably, more than likely, it's going to be in first place.
Yeah, I would have to imagine you would be.
I'm a fantasy executive. I'm here for a reason.
Who's your first pick?
My first pick was Paul Goldschmidt.
And you had what near the fourth overall pick?
I had the fourth overall pick.
Yeah. Who went before you?
Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant.
So you chose Paul Goldschmidt because that's what the optimizer told you to do?
Did the optimizer give you Arenado or?
No.
Kershaw?
At the top of the app, when that pick was made, it was Arenado and Goldschmidt. But I wanted to get a little bit of speed early.
Yeah, because I remember you saying like last week, like you're an Arenado guy.
I'm an Arenado guy, but you know, and I like the big 40 home runs, of course, the nice home ballpark, drive close to 100 RBIs. But with speed being at a premium this year, I was like, let me go. Goldie is safe. You feel what I'm saying?
All these guys are safe. Yep.
Well, yeah, but still, Goldie's going to give you, you know, that stolen base, and then it's a drop off at first base too.
Sure. So you want Paul Goldschmidt there?
Huh?
Do you agree with his pick?
Yeah, I don't really have any problem with the pick at all. I don't see the power is down a little bit last year, but you know it's nothing that you know is going to scare me off. And you know, obviously, like he said, you know the speed at first base, you know that's certainly an advantage. You know, it's a very safe pick.
Tony, I know you have said over and over Clayton Kershaw would be your guy at that spot. Do you agree with Goldschmidt where Tony, where Corey picked him?
Yeah, I don't have any problem picking Paul Goldschmidt because, like, Corey, what he's doing with that pick is he gives him balance, right? So he doesn't have to get it dictated to him. Oh, next round I got to get some stolen bases. Or the third round I got to get some stolen bases. So he picks a balanced player there, and it sets up a win now. Then the second round he can pick whoever he wants. He's not dictated on going in a certain way.
Well, there you go. So, Corey, you got to be happy. The panel here approved of your pick.
It was the first round. So, you know what I mean? We still, it might, you know, we might have some disagreements moving forward. So it'd be nice to vet it and hear it out.
Where did Clayton Kershaw go?
Clayton Kershaw went with pick 10.
That's late, like, man.
Drops,
yeah. That's a late. Oh, people out of the draft still don't care about pitching, evidently. What I'm excited to get into, by the way, when we come back, is the second pick and the third pick. Because that is where you immediately turn down the optimizer. Immediately.
Do it yourself,
Joe. Corey's picking the spots to use optimizers.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Pretty much. Like, pretty much.
But that's what it's there for.
Well, it's a guide. It's a guide. Yeah. We'll come back. We'll hear about more of Corey's picks. We've got a game to come up in the 8 o'clock hour. We have a team of day in the 8 o'clock hour. We have a lot more fun coming here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. 2 hours more to go, 1 hour down. We'll be back right after this.